satisfy you.
Hey guys, Saverin here today, and I'm doing a bit of a solo show. So we ended up not recording on Thursday because Thursday was just a really rough day for me. And we ended up hanging out on Shiva's patio and smoking hookah with her. She does still exist, we promise. And she's been active in the Notcast fan chat on Telegram, so if you're in there, she still exists, we promise. This week has been really hard. I jumped the gun and made some poor decisions and put myself through a lot of unnecessary heartache this week. So about a week ago, my parents had a dog show up on their property. What we thought was like a lab pit mix. Turns out he's a Staffordshire Terrier, which is definitely part of the bully breed. He'd hung around for a week, and my parents hoped that maybe someone would come for him, or maybe he'd wander off, because he doesn't like cats and he's not good with other animals. Like, he actually caught and brought them a couple of baby possums that he had killed for them. And that's a bit of a problem when you have cats as well. Code enforcement had been around, and my parents didn't want him getting picked up, because unfortunately, for pit bull mixes, they get picked up and they get put down more or less immediately. And I, being overeager to possibly help this dog and give it a home, was like, okay. And I went to Fort Worth in my really not safe to drive that far car and brought Apollo home. Let me tell you, he's about a year, and as a bully breed, American Staffordshire Terrier, he's a handful. Super muscular, very, very, very strong, and his mode of play is gnawing on you, which which is cute at first, but then, holy crap, dog, please stop. He needs a lot of training, but unfortunately, we think that he was being used as a bait dog, that is to say, an animal that is thrown to fighting dogs to be chewed up. Real shitheads do that to animals, and those people should be fucking killed, but that's not really it. I was more concerned about wanting to find Apollo a home that would work. I jumped the gun. I failed to look at my apartment complex's breed restrictions. He was a handful, but he's a sweet little dog, and he deserves a chance at life. But unfortunately, on Wednesday, after I'd had lunch with Fuzz, I finally made the decision I really need to go and talk to my apartment complex about possibly about what actually are the breed restrictions here. And it turns out they're fairly extensive. No Akitas, no Dobermans, no pit bulls of any type, no canary dogs, nothing over 50 pounds, and no Rottweilers, obviously, or quote-unquote any dog that is trained to attack, which actually makes it really broad. It gives the apartment manager a lot of leeway to basically be like, nah, you can't have this dog, and that sucks. So I basically had spent money on this dog and brought him out here and had him for a couple days before I actually realized that, oh dear, I can't have him. I can't keep him here. So we brought him back to Fort Worth, got him chip scanned, and we were thinking possibly, potentially going to surrender him to the Fort Worth Animal Shelter. And they basically said, well, because of his breed, we'll probably put him down today. Like, fuck you, no. Not gonna happen. Basically, I told them no, and my parents are hanging on to Apollo for now. I posted about it to my Twitter, and I posted about it to Facebook and all that, but he needs a home that can take him. He needs a yard without any kids, and probably and no other small animals. So, if you know somebody in the DFW area that can take in a pit mix that needs a lot of help, he still needs to have his vaccinations and be neutered, because that's the next step in getting him possibly ready to get to a rescue. Because there are a lot of pit bull rescues out there, but man, there's a lot of pit bull mixes in the system too. This kind of goes into the fact that Panther and I want to have a dog. Well, I want a dog, and Panther really likes dogs anyway. We ended up going to a few shelters today. Not he and I, but myself and a friend of ours. We went to Farmers Branch and Plano and Carrollton and went to a PetSmart. The Plano Animal Shelter is probably one of the best I've seen. It's very clean, very big, and the animals that they deem very easily adoptable are kept around a while, too. we saw a corgi mix named Luca. Luca is a corgi cattle dog mix who has the face of a corgi and the body of a corgi, but the markings on the rest of his body of just an Australian cattle dog kind of. He was really sweet, but he needs a yard, very energetic, likes to pee on everything. Saw a few other animals, saw a lot of cats, but there's so many big dogs that need homes, and seeing them just breaks my fucking heart because, you know, you're like, I can only save one of these dogs. It's really super upsetting to me, you know? Bursting into tears when you're looking at all these dogs that need homes is not helpful or useful, but that's kind of how it goes. And we went to the Carrollton shelter, and one of the things about the Carrollton shelter is that the adoption fee is only $15 total, and that includes registration with the city. But they don't do spay-neuter or any vaccinations, and you have to sign a contract saying that you will totally go and do this. If you don't, it's like a $2,000 fine or something like that. It's really serious. Plano and Farmers Branch is only $85, and they spay-neuter and vaccinate. But we're in the process of looking for a dog, and it's just one of those things you don't want to rush. And after the intense amount of personal drama over Apollo and not being able to keep him and trying to find a solution that keeps him alive and possibly finding him a home versus surrendering him to be executed, essentially, you know, that really took it out of me. And we don't want to just turn around and jump the gun on a dog. You know, don't do rebound relationships. Don't get a rebound dog. You know, don't rebound. It's not good. So that's kind of been what my dog drama has been. And part of the reason why we didn't record, I was super fucking depressed and exhausted after Wednesday or Thursday morning. And so we ended up just hanging out and smoking hookah and talking and going over a lot of what I'm discussing right now. It was one of those things that after we finally had gotten Apollo situated back at my parents, I really totally just did not want to go back home to an empty house and have to basically clean up, because I'd gotten him some treats. I'd gotten Apollo these things that are basically cow lung beef jerky, and he was a bit of a messy eater, so my carpets had little bits of cow lung all over the damn place. We did not want that, and we needed to clean up some pet stains because he's a stray and he's not house trained, and even when you take him out, he wouldn't poop, which is weird. But I don't imagine he'd also ever really had an indoor experience given where he came from, which is north side and poor and very Hispanic. And again, if he was being used as a bait dog, he hasn't had a good life so far. The scars on his body prove it. And that and the broken tail, poor thing. So on the way home from my parents' house on Thursday, I was like, all right, fine, I'm not going to have a dog. Well, maybe I can find a Nintendo Switch. If you guys follow me on Twitter, I have been bitching about Nintendo's supply efforts, and they're more like their lack thereof. I have seen a Nintendo Switch on the shelf once. There were two of them at Walmart, and it was not prudent because I still had to pay taxes at that point. We weren't sure how much we'd owe. So since then, I've never seen one on shelves, and I went to literally 16 stores just to kill time to make my way home. Like, there's a Walmart in Fort Worth, a Walmart, a Target, and a Best Buy in Lake Worth, a Toys R Us, a Best Buy, and a Target in Hearst, a Fry's, a Walmart, a Best Buy, and a Toys R Us in Irving, and then the Target by my house. So I just was like, I'd walk in, look at the department, nothing there, turn around, walk out. I made a tweet, it's like, you can't be depressed about Nintendo Switches not existing on shelves if you're depressed anyway. Lol. I still haven't found one. And then I decided, hey, there's a new news game store here in Carrollton. Maybe they have Wii U's on sale, because I actually purchased a copy of Zelda Wii U. No. People are hanging on to those pretty tightly, so I don't have any machine yet that can play Zelda, which is kind of a shame because I really enjoyed the roughly 25 hours I put into it during the week and a half I had the units for Fiesta. So, speaking of video games, I got three things to talk about on that front. So, Ubisoft did a free weekend for The Division which is a Tom Clancy game, which is to say, America, fuck yeah, we're the best, oorah, oorah. Tom Clancy was a very jingoistic America, fuck yeah kind of writer, and he died a while back, but Ubisoft owns the rights to his name and slaps it on any sort of America gun-filleting bullshit, right? I think Rainbow Six Wildlands also held his and basically was like, yo, we're going to make Bolivia into this terrorist hellhole, and it was super inappropriate. The game The Division came out a couple years ago, and it's one of those things where you are a super secret division of people that are answers only to the president. So basically you're the president's private assassin army, and you're basically given super constitutional rights. You can do what you need to do, execute citizens with impunity, kill who the fuck ever you want with very little repercussion. The only thing that really seems to cause issue is if you shoot another division agent, which initiates PvP, and that's only in like the consensual PvP zone. But it's one of those things that I got kind of uncomfortable with it pretty early on. I had really kind of ignored the game because at the time my system wouldn't run it. I didn't own a system that The Division was out on. It came out 2 years ago, so that's PS4 and Xbox, and I don't have either of those, and my PC was really old at that time. But I looked forward to trying it out because I didn't pay much attention to the discourse around it at the time. You start out on like Long Island or whatever, and you're rescuing some stuff and you're getting some drug supplies back and yada yada, but like, oh, these people are bad. And it's just like three dudes standing around a crate of like drugs or whatever, like morphine, medical supplies, and you're just like, yo, take these dudes out. Okay, I totally did. And then, you know, there's another one, like some dudes were holding some people hostage. All right, that's bad, sure. But it was one of those things where you came across these people and they had no real indication as they were enemies until they turn around and start shooting at you. You don't exactly have any sort of distinguishing marks that show you as any sort of – you is any different than any other asshole on the street with a gun. But you have access to your magical video game world AI computer thing. And so you get this ability to ping very early on where it just shows you who the bad people are. You know, your fucking psychic computer. So after I'd finished this first little section and you're basically thrown into Manhattan – like, shit's hitting the fan, you have to go in and save the island. Well, the thing is, you're saving the island from United States citizen disaster survivors. These are people that have survived the bullshit that happened at the start of the game and are basically, why are they still on the island of Manhattan? Why haven't they all been evacuated out? Because there's still random citizens still walking around the streets, and it doesn't make any sense. But I was walking down the street, you know, some asshole in a coat and a shaved head, very much your standard white male protagonist with scruffy beard. And I do the little ping to point out, it's like, okay, is there any bad guys in range? And yeah, there were two dudes looking over a body like 40, 50 yards away. And I was outside of their contact, like their activation AI, so they weren't hostile. But I could see that these people who hadn't done shit to me were bad. And I, as the supra-constitutionally empowered assassin of the government, could just totally mow these dudes down with impunity. I was like, you know, I don't – this really makes me uncomfortable. And then the first mission and the last mission that I took after you establish your first base is you have to go into Madison Square Garden and basically rescue a virologist and doctor who needs to help you guys out. You get inside and there's some dudes with guns and you murder them and you find out you Isaac, the your AI, hacks into the things and they're like, oh, you need to rescue this doctor. She's being looks like she and her crew are being forced to perform medical care on injured rioters. That is to say, and rioters in this context is just your average low-level enemy. So basically, you're coming in and murdering a shitload of maybe criminal, maybe not, people whose only crime in this case, that as far as you know as a character, is that they're keeping the doctor you want hostage and forcing her to do medical stuff for them as opposed to doing medical stuff for you, the pseudo-heroic main character. So that was one of those things where, again, you went, and at that point, I decide, you know what? I don't think this game's for me. And I put my thoughts out there on the net, and it turns out that, yeah, the guys over at Extra Credits had made a video, like, over a year ago, basically enumerating various, the more or less the same points that I had come to on my own, because I never watched their video. They also brought up the point that, yeah, everybody in this game is an American citizen of some flavor. These are not, you know, extranational terrorists. The people you fight in the low-level enemies are all quote-unquote rioters. They're all people of various ethnicities, all in hoodies for whatever reason, but they're still United States citizens who have survived a pandemic catastrophe, like smallpox or whatever, or they didn't get sick. And then, like, the next tier of enemies you fight are New York Sanitation Department workers who went a little bit crazy and are cleansing formerly infected areas with fire. They're doing kind of the same thing you are doing, and I'm going off of points that they brought up in Extra Credits, and I'll link it in the show notes so people can watch it too, that they're kind of doing the same thing you are, but you as the MC go around and murder the lot of these government employees, city employees, who are trying to cleanse the infection with flamethrowers. And it's like, huh. The third tier of enemies are Rikers Island prisoners who were abandoned during the pandemic. Like, prisoners, you know, and it's one of the things. It's like, yeah, these guys, some of these are murderers, some of these are thugs, some of these guys just had some weed on them, and they got left behind in this pandemic setting, and they broke free and are doing their own thing, which, yeah, sure, all right, they're prisoners. They broke the law. But here you are as Mr. MC Man toting machine guns and gunning down prisoners who, for all you know, their worst offense was they had an ounce of weed on them. But, again, it's a video game. Right? The fourth tier of enemy is actually, like, prepper militiamen guys. And they're, like, super hostile to you and whatever. So, all right, I have a little bit less sympathy for them because they're coming in trying to, you know, enact whatever their law is, and they will totally shoot at you first, much like anybody else because it's a video game. But they're more overtly hostile bad actors. The other guys are victims of circumstance at worst, basically. You know, you have your rioters who are disaster survivors. You have your sanitation workers who went a little nuts, but they also survived this, and they're trying to help cleanse the city of the smallpox infection. And the prisoners who got left behind on Rikers Island and managed to somehow escape instead of being rotting to death in the cells, I mean, you can't really blame them that much for self-determination, even if they are, quote-unquote, the bad guys. So I decided that game wasn't for me, and I deleted it and freed up 45 gigs of space on my PC. But in happier news, Dead Cells by Motion Twin came out. This is a 2D side-scrolling pixel art, gorgeously animated pixel art Metroid game. Not Metroid, Castlevania game. They call it a Metroidvania, but it's not really a Metroidvania because in that genre, you have to backtrack and you can go to various places, whereas in this one, your death is your backtracking. So basically, you are these, like, this glob of cells that possesses an executed person's body, and you're out killing skeletons and zombies and shit, and you're exploring this really beautifully animated and illustrated castle. It's a 2D game with very deliberate action in it. You need to, you know, dodge and block and whatever, and as you progress through the game, you get access to alternate routes, which means that you have a lot of options and the paths branch. So once you've unlocked the two initial runes, you have the choice of going to the Prisoner's Promenade or the Toxic Sewers or the Reliquary, which are three very different, very difficulty different areas. If you go to one stage, you can go to two other ones, or, well, in the case of going to the Promenade, you go to three different ones, which is the Ramparts, the Old Sewers, or what is it? There's another one, which is, again, really hard. Then you have a boss, and that puts you back. It kind of draws the diamond back together, and you start out this town full of monsters. And I assume, which I can't say too much, because I've only played the game for about 15 hours, and I've only gotten past the first boss and into the second, the town area, like, a few times. It is just super fucking good. It's a lot like Rogue Legacy. Rogue Legacy was a game where the conceit is that you are successive generations of heroes that are going into a castle and trying to free whatever. There's four zones in it. I could never get very far into it. And what sucked about it is that you could totally die but without the gold to for the next upgrade. And basically the entire run would be wasted. You would make zero progress at any point for that game. And it doesn't matter if it took you 5 minutes or 20 minutes. If you didn't make enough gold, you were just shit out of luck. One of the things that Dead Cells does really well is that you get you're basically your souls, like you would in a Soulsborne game. And at the end of each stage, you talk to the collector, and you invest your cells, souls, whatever, into permanent upgrades. You know, having a health flask, upgrading the amount that you can use it, how much gold you keep life to life, how much permanent weapon unlocks and abilities. Like, hey, because you get the blueprints for things from stage to stage. You give them to the collector, and they become available. And that's for active abilities, shields, swords, bows, whatever. And there's a fairly wide variety of weapons and bows and spells and active abilities that you get over the course of playing it for a while. I really thought it was quite cool, because you get, even if you can just finish the first stage, which might be hard for you at first, you will have something unlocked. You will make some progress towards something. That's really good, because even if you have a really shit run but you finish the first stage, you can, you know, put in a dozen or so souls towards something, and that's permanent. It sticks with you, and eventually you get the ability to randomize your starting equipment. So instead of starting with a shitty scimitar and a wood shield, you can get one of the random weapons you've unlocked and one of the random shields and one of the random bows as available choices. You can only have two things at once, so a sword, a bow, or a sword and a shield, or a bow and a shield, or a sword and a bow, whatever, you know. And there's also magic in the game, which unlocks pretty well. It's a lot of fun. Look it up, guys. It's only like $15, I think. I'd have to double check, but I mean, I got it for free, so I'm gonna shill. But it was one of those things where once I got the email for it and looked at it, and I saw it and was like, holy shit, this is tight as fuck. It's $15, so, or yeah, it's $14.44 right now. It's $16.99 regularly, but it's on sale for 15% off. Ends May 17th. You can get it for $14.44. I've put 14 hours into it. And right now, its overall reviews are overwhelmingly positive, with 1,226 reviews. So check this the fuck out, dudes. It is really cool. On the last thing, another game that came out, which is actually surprisingly disappointing, is Strafe. Strafe is one of those games that's been in production for a while, and the thing with Strafe is that its marketing was fucking awesome. It was really good, and they marketed it as a roguelike, that is to say, it's a randomized first-person shooter in the vein of Doom or Quake. Well, unfortunately, you're basically stuck with one gun. You have either your shotgun, which is good within 3 feet, your machine gun, which shoots Nerf darts, as far as I can tell, and the railgun, which is not very accurate. All the weapons seem to do about the same damage, except for, like, the machine gun takes a few things. There doesn't seem to be any sort of permanent unlock system. The reload system is realistic, in that if you reload before your clip is empty, you lose the ammunition. Secondary fire requires ammunition. So if the shotgun, its secondary is like a grenade that shoots shrapnel around, kind of like the shrapnel gun in like Unreal Tournament. If you don't have 4 bullets, you can't use it, so you can reload it, but you lose the 3 shells or less that you had in the chamber already. So it's one of those things that it's like, I don't know. Ultimately, I played it for about an hour, which consisted of about 8 or 9 runs, and I just decided it wasn't really for me. One game, though, that was cool in that same sort of genre is called Ziggurat. It is a Unity-based first-person shooter where you are a wizard, and you have various options and various character things, and you unlock things semi-permanently as you go along. That one was pretty cool, and I put some time into that. Another thing, though, is Ziggurat came out a while back, so it's really cheap. Let me look at how much that is. Ziggurat, oh, it's $15. Its overall is very positive, with 2010 reviews. I reviewed the game on June 11th, 2015, so it's been out for a little while, but it was pretty darn cool, and I liked it a lot. So, to wrap up the game side of things, The Division's not so hot, Dead Cells is fucking cool, and Strafe was a disappointment. Beyond that, that's really going to wrap up what's been going on. We've got... I'm sure we got a few emails this week, but I didn't really look at it. And again, so next week's episode, well, next time we record, which will hopefully be next week, our theme is your favorite kink. So write into the show at notcast@foxdeffers.com or send us a message via our Tumblr page, notcast.com or notcast.tumblr.com. And if you would like, we also have a Patreon, patreon.com/notcast. Buck an episode or buck a month, either way works. It helps us out a lot, and we really do appreciate it. We're honored that some of you even give us money. That's great, because, I mean, we do this for fun, and we've been doing this for hundreds of episodes, and we appreciate every little bit. Also, aside from the Patreon thing, we also have our good deal back with AdamandEve.com. You can get 50% off one item, free shipping. And if you spend more than $18, get a free sex swing. If you go to adamneve.com and spend at least $18, you get the free sex swing. But otherwise, it's half off, free shipping. And that goes to help us out, too. So I'm going to wrap this up now. I can't believe that I talked more or less continuously for about half an hour now. You will hear from me next week. Good night and big balls.